Well, now the date is April 9th, 2023. It's 17:54 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green here with you. Today's study, Little Children, is from the Wild Road Ahead to History article, Part 1, Chapter 6, Paragraph 3. And yesterday we talked about the last thing we talked about in the article was about the date of the Tower of Babel and the beginning of the Egyptian calendar and the reign of Yan Di in the Chinese mythology all being dated in the same century of the 28th century before the Common Era, which is 2700 and something. 2737 for the date of the Chinese emperor, Yan Di, and 2774 for the date of the beginning of the Egyptian calendar. Now, chapter 6, paragraph 3. Without prejudice to how much more information we have yet to find regarding the 28th century BCE, we do well to pay attention to the correspondences available now. One of these, the Book of Sothis, gives a clear double dating of the dispersion that spread the people by a confusion of tongues at Babel as Pelegs or Phalek, 5th year, equal to Arphaxad, 34th year. Some information which we had determined previously is the death of Shem in 2780 BCE, the death of Arphaxad in 2745 BCE, and the birth of Peleg in 2749 BCE or BG. Those of us who believe in God are more so than others inclined to believe that someone may know more than us about our human history. But then we try to make sure. Since the year 2745 is both the 5th year of Peleg from his birth in 2749 BG, and 2745 BG is the year of death of Arphaxad, here is a clue to the dispersion date, suggesting that it may date to exactly 2745 BCE. The corruption of the name Peleg to Phalek and that of Arphaxad to Arphaxad could and did prevent us from at first identifying the people so evidently intended. So we've identified the people mentioned in the Book of Sothis, and we've used the double dating given there. It's both the 5th year of Phalek, or Peleg, and it's also the 34th year of Arphaxad, or Arphaxad. So because it's both of those things, if we take, now we could take the first year of Arphaxad as being the death of Shem, but we don't know that for sure. But it's 2780. In our blessed genealogy, the date of the death of Shem. If we took that to be the beginning of Arphaxad's reign, or his first year, after the death of his father, which would make some sense, but if we did that, his 34th year would be 33 years later than that, or perhaps 34 years later. But if we say 33 years later, 2780 minus 33 is 2747, right? 2747 is very close to 2745. So the 5th year of Peleg being exactly 2745, or, you know, it could even be 2744, I suppose. But it's close, very close to the same thing as the 34th year of Arphaxad. But the other thing is, the death of Arpakshad falls exactly in the same year as that fifth year of Peleg in our chronology. And that's very interesting because that suggests that whoever wrote the Book of Sothis or whoever provided the information, we don't know who it was who provided that. It could have been information that was put into the Book of Sothis by a Christian translator later on, or we don't know. I don't think we know the origin of that information, but it's remarkable that we actually have our chronology in perfect alignment, you know, within a few years of being the same year for the 5th year of Peleg and the 34th year of Arpakshad. But more importantly, Arpakshad died in the 5th year of Peleg. That seems to be a more important correspondence. So if that was given as the dispersion date, according to the Book of Sothis, which it was, the 5th year of Peleg, then that seems like that is very appropriate, seeing as Arpakshad died in the same year. It just is it's a wonderful correspondence that we have no other information about this in terms of exactly what year it was. So the dispersion date, we can say, is 2745 BCE, as well as we can possibly determine it. That's what it is, 2745. It might be exactly that year. That's the end of this study for today. But if you want to look up something, you can look up paragraph 5-8, sentence 2. The sentence 2, the second sentence of that paragraph, chapter 5, paragraph 8, talks about the years of the Book of Sothis being 700 after the date of 2745. And in other words, 700 years after the dispersion. And that would be 2045, and that's the birth of Jacob. Very close. He's 2044 or 2045. Jacob was born about 2045, or perhaps 2044 BCE. So then the 511 years of shepherd kings, if we view Jacob as a shepherd king, we know he was a shepherd. He was the beginning of the reign of the shepherd kings, and we subtract the 511 years given by Josephus for the shepherd kings in Josephus' version of Manetho, we get 2045 minus 511, which is it's 1534, which is almost exactly the year that the Hyksos were driven out of Egypt. It was either 1533 or 1532 is what we thought in the work that in the other work that we can read in the articles about the Blessed Genealogy, okay? These other articles, the Crucible article, for example, and all the other articles that mention the Hyksos departing Egypt, they all give the same date. It's around 1533 BCE for the departure of the Hyksos. So it's perfect because that was 40 years before the Exodus in 1493. And that's perfect because if the Hyksos left Egypt in 1533, it's not too unlikely that Moses could have left Egypt in the same time or thereabouts when he went to Midian for 40 years before coming back to lead the Israelites out of the Exodus. So all these dates work really well in the genealogy, even though we have so little information. We have very little information, so it's very good if the dates do work and if they add up to something that does work. So that's the study of the Wild Road article for today. And now I'd like to look at one more thing before we look at our Genesis chapter for today, Proverbs 28 and 12, when the wicked ones rise up, a man disguises himself. And that is reminiscent of when, it was written in the days of Solomon, Solomon ruled before Ahab, and Jehoshaphat went into battle in the Bible. So Ahab could have known the scripture. It says, when the wicked ones rise up, a man disguises himself. A man disguises himself when the wicked ones rise up. So Ahab may have been following this scripture and disguised himself because it said this in the writings of Solomon, in the Proverbs of Solomon. Let's see. Yes, well, it looks like these are still the Proverbs of Solomon here, 28. And then when we get to 29, that's still the Proverbs of Solomon. And then when we get to chapter 30 of Proverbs, it's the words of Agur. So, and Lemuel is chapter 31. Okay, so Solomon wrote chapter 28, it appears, of Proverbs. So that's the writings of Solomon. But it would have been known, very likely, by Ahab, who disguised himself when he went into battle with Jehoshaphat. Now, Genesis, chapter 40 for today. Remember, Joseph was in prison. And he was, as we learned last time, he was making his way successful with Jehovah's help. Jehovah was blessing him in everything he was doing. He was being blessed in the house of Potiphar before he was put in the prison house because of the lies that were told by the wife of Potiphar. And then when he came to be in prison, he was also blessed greatly by Jehovah because he was put in charge of many responsibilities by the officer in charge of the prison house. So, that is the chief of the bodyguard. So, Genesis chapter 40. Now, after these things, it came about that the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and the bakers sinned against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh grew indignant at his two officers, at the chief of the cupbearers and at the chief of the bakers. So he committed them to the jail of the house of the chief of the bodyguard, to the prison house, the place where Joseph was a prisoner. Then the chief of the bodyguard assigned Joseph to be with them, that he might wait upon them. And they continued in jail for some days. And both of them proceeded to dream a dream, each one his own dream in the one night, each one his dream with its own interpretation. The cupbearer and the baker who belonged to the king of Egypt, who were prisoners in the prison house. When Joseph came into them in the morning and saw them, why, here they were looking dejected. And he began to inquire of the officers of Pharaoh, who were with him in the jail of his master's house, saying, "For what reason are your faces gloomy today?" At this they said to him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter with us." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Relate it to me, please." And the chief of the cupbearers went on to relate his dream to Joseph and to say to him, "In my dream, why, here there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three twigs, and it was apparently sprouting shoots. Its blossoms pushed forth, its clusters ripened their grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I proceeded to take the grapes and squeeze them out into Pharaoh's cup. After that, I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three twigs are 3 days. In 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift up your head, and he will certainly return you to your office. And you will certainly give Pharaoh's cup into his hand, according to the former custom when you acted as his cupbearer. Nevertheless, you must keep me in your remembrance as soon as it goes well with you, and you must please perform loving kindness with me and mention me to Pharaoh. And you must get me out of this house, for I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing at all for which they should put me in the prison hole. When the chief of the bakers saw that he had interpreted something good, he in turn said to Joseph, I too was in my dream, and here there were three baskets of white bread upon my head, and in the topmost basket there were all sorts of eatables for Pharaoh, the product of a baker, and there were fowls eating them out of the basket on top of my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off you, and you will certainly, and he will certainly hang you upon a stake, and the fowls will certainly eat your flesh from off you. Now on the third day, it turned out to be Pharaoh's birthday, and he proceeded to make a feast for all his servants and to lift up the head of the chief of the cupbearers and the head of the chief of the bakers in the midst of his servants. Accordingly, he returned the chief of the cupbearers to his post of cupbearer, and he continued to give the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But the chief of the bakers he hung up, just as Joseph had given them the interpretation. However, the chief of the cupbearers did not remember Joseph and went on forgetting him. So just as Joseph interpreted, so it came to pass that the cupbearer was taken out of the prison by Pharaoh on Pharaoh's birthday, but the chief of the bakers was put to death. And that was exactly what Joseph had interpreted from the dreams. So the chief of the cupbearers, who was still doing well, he was now back in his post serving Pharaoh, but he forgot Joseph was in the prison, and Joseph had asked him to remember that he had been kidnapped and he was in prison because he'd been kidnapped and he'd done nothing wrong. So he just ended up being in prison, having done nothing wrong, and yet this servant of Pharaoh was forgetting about Joseph. So that's the end of our study for today, Genesis chapter 40. Little children, I hope you enjoyed that. I had some sleep last night, but I got to bed very late last night. I suddenly realized if I stay up, you know, I mean, I keep finding this out. I can be very tired. And once I get past that sleepy state, I can stay awake the whole day until the next night if I choose to do that. But I did finally go to bed about 6:30 in the morning. And so I got some sleep, and I realized, there's some work to do. I have to order some things for working with the trees. So I can cut the trees, I have to have the proper materials for working with the trees in my yard. By the way, one of my trees in my yard, when it fell down, the root ball of the tree heaved the ground upward. The ground was thrust. It was pulled up by the root ball of the tree, and it's now no longer the same flat ground that it was. I noticed that yesterday, I believe it was. And I used some of my synthetic fuel yesterday, which is the fuel I use only for one purpose, and that is when I want to preserve the engine and the gas fuel system for my devices. I mean, for my engines. I run a small amount of this synthetic fuel through the carburetors, through the engines, but it goes through the carburetors and it prevents any kind of deposits, you know, gummy deposits from forming. So I did that yesterday with my generator to put it away again, to put it back into storage for next time. And it doesn't take a lot of this fuel, but I used a very small amount, I thought, but it ran for about 15 minutes or something, just with a very small amount of fuel. It's a very efficient generator, but it's a very good generator, and now that I know how to use it more effectively, I think it's going to be a wonderful thing to have. Whenever we have a power outage, I'll be able to start up the generator, and it will be exceedingly useful during those times when the power is lacking in the grid of the power system of the, you know, the electrical grid. So, I mean, in the winter time, we sometimes get these power outages, but it can happen when there's rain sometimes, and can happen for a number of different reasons. And that was quite a difficult power outage, I thought. It seemed like it was, partly because I wanted to continue putting out my videos, and so I felt I was under more stress than normal, or than I used to be when we had a power outage. And the generator was what sort of saved the day there. There are so many different challenges in life. The thing is, you know, I've never really had anything wrong with me. And there's less wrong with me today, or nowadays, than there ever was. My health is getting better. Whatever problems I developed or was developing over the period of years since I was, you know, about in my young 20s or early 20s, when I was in my prime of life, you know, after that, whatever problems I developed in my health were not very much. But recently they've been worse than previously. But then now they're getting better again because of the use of the proper nutrients and so on. And also, I don't have any more infections because I learned about vitamin C, ascorbate. Ascorbate wipes out the infections before they ever can come. So I've never had a flu or a cold or any infection of any kind, like strep throat or any virus or any bacterial infection. I've never had anything since I learned about ascorbate. Works every single time. So that's certainly a health improvement. But also, I'm starting to take vitamin K again, and I'm taking vitamin D again. Obviously not quite at the levels I was taking before. I'm taking them at moderate levels, but I will be increasing that. I'll be increasing those levels probably too. But when I take the vitamin K2, it makes my arthritis improve. I've got this sore spot on my knuckle, on my thumb. That's my indicator for arthritis. If I can press on that and it hurts, then I know my arthritis is flaring up a little bit. But if I can press on that and it doesn't hurt, I can make the arthritis go away. If I can cause it to go away, then that's how I can know it's gone away. And the thing is, well, also my hips and my legs. The other day, yesterday, I took my, when I take calcium, I take the calcium in the form of dairy, you know, my lattes, or I've been having chocolate lattes and matcha tea lattes. But one particular day, possibly it was yesterday, I think it was yesterday, I took my latte, but I didn't take my vitamin K2. Not at that time. And then later in the day, I was getting up, standing up, and I felt there's some arthritis in my legs and hips. So I realized, well, that's because I didn't take my K2. So I took the vitamin K2 right then, just like as if I would have taken it at the time I took the latte. And then after I took the vitamin K2, the next time I stood up, there was no arthritis in my legs or hips. That's how fast vitamin K2 can make the arthritis disappear. It's instantaneous, almost. And it can be. I've noticed it be in, it has been instantaneous. I've noticed it before. So if arthritis does go away when you take vitamin K2, then that's the cure for it, because vitamin K2 is supposed to cure arthritis. It's supposed to cure arthritis by making the calcium. It doesn't actually actively do it, but it produces the proteins that are necessary to work with vitamin D. You need to take vitamin D with it, and you need to take fat, some kind of fat with it, because it's a fat-soluble vitamin. But when you take K2 with some fatty dairy or something, like high-fat dairy is the best, I believe, to take with K2. But you take K2 with your vitamin D and with your fat. You can eat nuts if you can't consume dairy. Like when I was sick, because I'd been eating too much calcium and too much K2 with calcium, I had way too much calcium and vitamin D in my system. Then I used nuts, walnuts, as my fat. And I took that with the K2, but I didn't, at that point, I wasn't taking calcium or vitamin D because I was sick with having taken too much of those things. Now, but, you know, usually I'll just take the dairy, which I need every day. I need dairy every day. So I take the dairy with the vitamin D and with the high fat. And you always take magnesium when you take calcium. You always have to take magnesium. That's just, everyone knows that. But not everyone knows about vitamin K2. And even though most people know about vitamin D, they don't know about K2. It needs to be there with the vitamin D. And then it produces the proper proteins that, when they're present in your body, they remove the calcium from the joints, therefore reducing, but eliminating, reversing arthritis. You know, it reverses it. Now, how much it reverses it depends on how much of the K2 you take. You know, but it reverses it, and it reverses, it also, it not only reverses arthritis, it reverses osteoporosis, as they've shown in Japan, but they've used, in the case of osteoporosis, they used MK4, that form of vitamin K2. They took 45 milligrams per day to do that, and they found that they've done studies, it's been done in Japan for decades, they know this. So MK4 is useful for that, and you know, we have the ability to take supplements from MK4, the MK4 form, and also MK7. They're both available for purchase, but there's also MK9, I believe you can purchase that as well. Another form of vitamin K2. There are 9 known forms of vitamin K2. 9. And that's a lot of different forms of vitamin K2, but not all of them are available for purchase. But I want to find out, I mean, my arthritis is much less when I take enough K2. It's just amazing. I mean, I stood up and I thought, well, that's a little stiffer and a little more painful to stand up when you have arthritis, right? And so that's what it felt like. And then I remember, wait a minute, and this is the first time I've ever noticed it in my legs and hips, that it's the first time I've ever made the connection, the conscious connection, that that's vitamin K2 that was lacking. But that's what I thought. And when I took the K2, sure enough, it disappeared immediately. So, I mean, the next time I stood up, whenever that was, it was gone. So, and that was just shortly, you know, sometime like a few minutes or maybe an hour later or something, it was gone. But it probably went away sooner than that. The thing is, K2 immediately acts to produce these GLA proteins when it works with vitamin D in your body. So K2 plus D, plus D3, those things, K2 plus D3, you can buy that as a supplement. But you can also buy them separately and take them together. But K2 plus D3, taken with calcium and magnesium, and that's basically all you need. But you can take a little boron, you can take some selenium, whatever else you think you need. But boron is usually essential for the proper formation of bone, at least so I believe, anyway, so I've learned. But the other things you can take, many other supplements you can take too. I mean, you can take other things with this, but those are the crucial elements that enable your body to reverse arthritis. And it also can reverse heart disease, because the calcium in the arteries can't get out of there unless these proteins are present as well. It allows the calcium to disappear from places where it shouldn't be, and these proteins also do that in the joints. It does it everywhere where calcium is not supposed to be, is my understanding. And also, the presence of vitamin K2, whatever else it does, it makes it possible to form bone and put this calcium from the places where it wasn't supposed to be into the places where it was supposed to be, in the bones. So it's a phenomenal, phenomenal vitamin. That's why it's called the calcium facilitator vitamin. That's why K2 is crucial for health. So today it's April 9th, 2023, 18:24 hours. And for Ward Green, it's Talkphibby and Hammy the Crow saying, I love you. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now.